Psalm 90, verses 14 through 17. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish us. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. The stress and troubles that we must endure in life can zap our joy from us. For this reason, it is a good idea to pray for joy and gladness to face another day. The joy of the Lord is our strength. His joy enables us to overcome hurt, anger, bitterness, disappointment, failure, rejection. When God gives us joy, it is a joy that cannot be taken away, and it endures, even when we are opposed to doing what is right. The story's been told of Hugh McHale. In December 1666, Hugh was the youngest and most gallant of the Covenants. They were brought to trial in Edinburgh, specifically Hugh McHale was. Covenanters were Presbyterians and stood for political and religious liberty, leading to almost a century of persecution and their widespread migration to Ireland and the American colonies. Hugh was given 4 days to live and then marched back to prison. In the crowd on the street, many were weeping that one so young and so gallant should have only 4 days more to see the sunshine. But there were no tears in the eyes of this young Galahad of the faith. Trusting God, he cried to the crowd as he marched past. Trust in God. And then suddenly, he saw a friend of his own standing on the edge of the crowd, and he shouted to him, "Good news, wonderful good news. I am within 4 days of enjoying the sight of Jesus, my Savior." You face death with courage and joy. He had his eye on Christ. He was satisfied with the mercy of the Lord. He was rejoicing and he was being glad in Christ. He was made glad by the Lord. We need to pray to the Lord that we would be satisfied with his mercy, that we would be pleased with his goodness in our lives. Psalm 5:11, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy." Why? Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Where does Christ sit? He sits at the right hand of the Father. There in Christ, there are pleasures forevermore. Brothers and sisters, we have to keep our eyes on Christ. On a balmy October afternoon in 1982, Badger Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin was packed. More than 60,000 diehard University of Wisconsin Badger supporters were watching their football team take on the Michigan State Spartans. It soon became obvious that Michigan State had the better team. What seemed odd, though, as the score became more lopsided, there were bursts of applause and shouts of joy from the Wisconsin fans. How could they cheer when their team was getting slaughtered? Turns out that 70 miles away, the Milwaukee Brewers baseball team was beating the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of the 1982 World Series. Many of the fans in the stands were listening to portable radios and responding to something other than their immediate circumstances. Do you get the application, my brothers and sisters? They were responding to something other than their immediate circumstances. And far too often we live in the here and now. These fans were rejoicing in something they could not see. Paul challenges us to do the same thing concerning heaven. Paul encourages us to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And when we do, we can rejoice even in hardships because we see Christ's larger victory. Let us fix our eyes upon Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they're temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. While we look not at the things which are seen. And brothers and sisters, if we're honest with ourselves, it's just the opposite. We're just the opposite of what the text says. While we look not at the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, we're so focused on the here and now. What are you focusing your eyes upon? What are you focusing your eyes upon? Verse 16 of Psalm 90 tells us, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. If you're a servant of the Lord, and you want to make your life count for God, your prayer will be to see God's hand of power. Your prayer will be to see God's hand of power. You will want to see the work of God in your own life and in the lives of others. Not only that, the godly mother or father, they'll want their children to see the glory and the power of God. I got to say, one thing that bothers me today is the lack of concern of Christian parents to be faithful in church and make sure their kids learn about the Lord. Our kids in this day, they're going to grow up ignorant about God. May our prayer be, Lord, show your power to my children. Let them see that you're real and can meet their needs too. One way our kids will see the glory of God is by the way that we live as parents. Don't doubt that for a second. You will remember. They will remember even as you remember your parents and your grandparents and your aunts and your uncles and your cousins and nieces and nephews. All the things that you saw growing up. Those children of yours, brothers and sisters, they're watching. They're watching. You tell them about Christ, you tell them about the Bible, you tell them the Bible says this and the Bible says that, and they're looking at your life and they're like going, yeah, but why isn't that true with you? Our faith, our dedication, our love for God and for them, and our patience will teach them volumes about the Lord. May our example And we do set an example. Don't doubt that for a moment. May our example bring glory to God as they watch and read our lives. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. That Paul was saying to the Corinthians, those that he had taught, you, child of God, are the epistle that people are reading. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How often have I heard people in church quote that? And yet, their good works are not shining in front of their children. The light is not shining. Their good works are not shining. They're not glorifying their Father which is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be serious about our Christianity. So many of us are so flippant about it. May our children know verse 17 of Psalm 90 in their lives and in our life. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Brothers and sisters, what a statement. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish it. The beauty of the Lord being upon us, him establishing the work of our hands, him bringing it to pass. The beauty of the Lord, the pleasantness of the Lord, the delightfulness of the Lord, the beauty, the favor of the Lord, the pleasantness of the Lord. What beautiful words to learn in our text. Moses prays that the beauty, the favor, the kindness of the Lord be upon him. He prays that the labor and the efforts of his life would be successful and effective. He doesn't want to waste his life. If you want to make your life count for Christ, then this would be a good prayer to pray. Would you pray that God's beauty be seen in our lives and that our lives will be used of God? We should pray that Christ be seen in us. We should pray for success and blessing in serving the Lord. Success and blessing come from our obedience to the Word. Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we are to be a spiritual success, we need to make wise use of our time. Once again, I started this series with redeeming the time. And as I'm coming to an end, I will be mentioning that once again. What are some things that we can do that bring blessings into our lives and please the Lord? We have already spoken about numbering our days and praying for certain things. Let me mention six things in closing that we could let our children see, that we could let those around us see, that would bear fruit in our life. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish it, Lord, please. This is our prayer. We must first of all be thankful. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the beauty of the Lord upon you is that you're thankful and you're giving thanks always for all things, not sometimes for some things, but always for all things. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always, for you are making mention of you in our prayers. Are you praying for you, brothers and sisters? Are you giving thanks? Being thankful or grateful will make your life a whole lot easier. Being thankful, remembering God. Ecclesiastes 12:1, Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The word remember involves being mindful, mention, or think about, with the focus of mind on the Lord, when not to let the excitement of our youth cause us to forget about God. We're to honor Him in our youth before we grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. But we, brothers and sisters that are older, that have some age to us, that should not be what we're about. We should not say life is not pleasant anymore. For even in the pain and the misery and the heartache, we ought to give thanks, we're to rejoice. So we're to be thankful. We're to remember God. We're to trust God. When I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Also, we're to glorify God. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Thankfulness, remembering God, trusting God, glorifying God, also giving the gospel to others, letting others know about Christ, that the beauty of the Lord would be upon them. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And my friend, if you've been listening to these messages, you've been hearing about the beauty of the Lord. You've been hearing about the Lord satisfying you. You've been hearing about the Lord's mercy. Unless you come to Christ, you cannot know this. You cannot know of the beauty of the Lord. For Christ himself is the beauty of the Lord. He is the bearer of 10,000. He is the one that saves souls. He is the one that his servants can go out and say, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is salvation nowhere else, my friend. You will not find salvation in your good works. You will not be accepted by Almighty God by your good works. In fact, your works will condemn you. There is no flesh, there is no one that will be justified by the works of their flesh, by the works of their hands. The only way to be accepted before God Almighty is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for his work has been accepted by God. His perfect keeping of the law has been accepted by God. His perfect atonement has been accepted by God. He has made propitiation for the sins of his people. He has made an atonement. And by simply repenting of your sin and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you too can have your sins forgiven you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And for the children of God, I will lastly remind you and myself that we're to walk wisely, we're to live wisely. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Brothers and sisters, why are you spending all your time chasing the things of this world? We're to be redeeming the time. Ephesians 5:15-16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. once again, redeeming the time. I've showed you again, redeeming the time. What does Paul mean by redeeming the time? The word redeeming is from the Greek word exag or adzo. Exag or adzo, which means to make the best use of. To make the best use of. To take advantage of the opportunities at hand. To make wise and sacred use of every opportunity to do something good. What a blessed way to live. What a way to testify that yes, the beauty of the Lord our God is upon us. And He has established the work of our hands. Are you making wise use of the opportunities to live for the Lord? How do you spend the sands of your hourglass? For even as you would listen to this message, the sands would be going down in the hourglass. You're that much closer to eternity, brothers and sisters. We must redeem the time.